I want to draw your attention this morning to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 1, and particularly to verses 8 to 9. My son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains around your neck. If I was to ask you what is the most common question you hear from a young child, I think you would all instinctively say, why? Why? Whether it's expressing curiosity on their part, maybe they're seeking confirmation, maybe they're just pushing the boundaries a little bit, or maybe they're just being simply yet very defiant. For parents, I suspect the question would be a little bit different. Are you listening? Did you hear me? Or one of the other variants, listen, stop and listen, perhaps. Pay attention. As we turn to Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 8 and 9 in particular, we come across one of the first of the most common commands in the book of Proverbs. It's the word hear. Hear. And it's saying to us, it's not enough to be told, we need to listen. And we need to respond. We need to ask ourselves, will we do it? Will we listen? Will the instruction sink deep down and become a genuine part of us, what makes us think and move? Will it make any difference in how we live our lives? The book of Proverbs actually gives us a wonderful picture of family life. Have you ever noticed it as you've read through the book of Proverbs? It really starts out that way and it finishes that way. It starts out with a father speaking to a son who is being readied to leave home. And it finishes with a mother speaking to a son who is readied to be married and start his own family. It's a beautiful picture of a godly family preparing a young man to wisely and effectively assume the responsibilities of adult life. And here in the opening words, the tone is set. Here we see, first of all, the partnership of parents. My son, hear the instruction of your father. Do not forsake the law of your mother. God's plan is that parents are to be the primary teachers of wisdom. He has placed parents in a position of spiritual and moral authority over the children he has entrusted into their care, with the great emphasis here being on loving parental instruction. We read of it in the Old Testament so clearly in the book of Deuteronomy as the people of Israel are on the verge of entering the promised land. Moses there reminds them that as a result of being God's people and under God's law, under his rule, he's just given them the Ten Commandments. He says in the next chapter, Deuteronomy chapter 6, now this is how I want you to live. That as you go in and out of your house, the thing that will be obvious to you is the commandments of our God. The thing that your children will see about you, the thing that you will want to inculcate into the life of your children, demonstrating it in your own life, because you walk through the doorway and you've got their statements relating to my word. So going out and coming home, you'll be confronted with the word of God. It's to be dominant, that word, in your life. And as parents, that's your responsibility. Teach your children. Model it. Explain it. Encourage them. Call upon them to to live this way. You may not be able to control what they do outside of your influence, but you can control what they do under your influence. You can teach them. You can guide them. Show them the principles and the precepts of my word. In our New Testament reading, we saw there, it's a beautiful chapter on family life and the impact of Jesus upon family life, starting with a healthy marriage. Where the question was about divorce, and Jesus says, it's the wrong question. The question should never be about divorce, it should be about marriage. And then he talks about children. The disciples say Jesus is too busy, and Jesus is never too busy. Children are the inheritance of the Lord. They are a covenantal reality in the life of God's people. A responsibility, and Jesus takes the children in his arms and he blesses them, giving that covenantal blessing, highlighting the role that children have within the covenant that Jesus came to establish through his death, that is the new covenant. And if we were to read on, a young man comes to Jesus. So here's one who is no longer a child and under the parental influence has been taught the law of God, so much so that he believes that he has kept the whole law. But what is it that Jesus sets before him? Why do you call me good? None is good but God. Do you have a real understanding of what it is to be good? And he specifies several of the commands. And the last one that Jesus specifies to this young man is honour your father and your mother. And Jesus stops there. As if to say, have you listened and responded to the covenantal realities that God has surrounded you with within a covenant home where mum and dad are believers and functioning under God's word, strengthening their marriage, pouring out covenant blessings and teaching you and instructing you. Now that you are leaving home and out on your own, do they still govern you? Calling upon this young man to search his own heart. And it's interesting, there's still that link of the family. You think you are good. Jesus is immediately pointing him back to, as a young man outside of the direct influence of your parents, are you still honouring them? Are you still honouring them? Throughout the scriptures, we see this emphasis in Ephesians chapter 6. We find there not only Paul instructing parents, and particularly fathers who have the prime responsibility in the training and raising of their children, in the nurturing and admonition of the Lord, he then turns to the children in the congregation and says, don't forget the fifth commandment, it comes with a promise, and you really need to pay attention to this one, to honour your father and your mother. The fifth commandment is not limited to the Old Testament. It, along with all the commandments, are reinforced in the New Testament upon the New Testament church. But what is particularly being emphasized in these passages of Scripture is the parental responsibility to their children, to fit their children for life by making them aware of who God is and what God has declared and how much they need him and in what way in particular they need him, and that is as their Redeemer ruler over their lives. Parents are responsible to fit their children for life in this world in terms of gospel truth, in calling them to faith, and in moral life, calling them to obedience. That is a reality that needs to be emphasized because the world, as Solomon recognizes in this first chapter, is full of destructive influences, including substitute families. He says, you're going to have friends come to you, strangers, mates, and they're going to suggest all sorts of lifestyle choices and patterns. But the way thereof is death and destruction. And he is saying to his son, remember the instruction that you got at home. the wisdom that was put before you. Don't fall for the lies and the delusions and the empty promises that are dressed up so seductively by the ways of the world and your friends who have no interest in God and no submission in their hearts, let alone interest in their minds to the Word of God. Parents need to be aware of these attempts to usurp the role of God that has been given to parents. They need to instruct their children in relation to it, warning them even of the unhelpful and dangerous influences of unbelieving friends who seek to displace parental instruction and wisdom with the lusts of youth. That is not to say that every parent must shelter and isolate their child from every influence outside of the home. The point is that parents are responsible for training their children and for the influences under which they allow their children to come. But also to understand that part of that responsibility is to understand both their own heart and the nature of these other influences, the true character, the thinking of the world and its influences that they will meet throughout their life. It is a parent's responsibility to be discerning of their own heart, including the attractiveness of the sinful heart to those things, to that way of looking that unbelievers will present to them. That's what Solomon's doing here. He's helping his son recognize the truth, but also understand the character of these false things that work against and supplant the truth. And instead, hear the wisdom. Hear the voice of wisdom, the voice of God calling to you through the word. And understand the consequences of not hearing and listening to that wisdom through the word which you have heard through your parents' instruction as well. That's what Proverbs 1 is all about. But as we look at that, there is something that is assumed and something that is emphasized. What is assumed is that both parents willingly take up this duty. They don't do it reluctantly. They recognize that God has given them a responsibility and they take it up. They don't hand it over to somebody else. They take up that responsibility. Both father and mother take up a willingness to serve their children and above all God in this way. And it is a great tragedy when parents are so busy trying to provide the best material things and opportunities for the children that they end up abdicating their responsibility to properly train them or hand it over to others. So that's what's assumed here, that you will do the job. But what is particularly emphasized here is that you will do this as a partnership. You see it? We see that both mother and father are involved. The father is speaking, but he is not distancing himself from the mother. He is not putting down his mother. He's the mother. He's cherishing his wife. He's recognizing and honoring and accepting, even declaring that he needs her involvement in this training. My son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother. Both have a vital role in training their children. They each can bring their own emphasis to bear, such as we do read in Proverbs 31, as the mother trains her son with reference to what it is to be a husband and therefore how to look for a wife. And here we see a father speaking to his son of the way that other lads will tempt him to do things he knows are wrong and result in grave danger, which the father can do because he can speak from his own experience. He knows the pressure of such friends. But as Derek Kidner observes, the two share the children's training are assumed to speak with one voice. With one voice. There's not a division between them. It's not a competition for their child's mind or heart or life. That doesn't mean that mother and father are interchangeable,
but that each brings their own traits and natural abilities as they experience life, as they communicate now with one voice the common and agreed truths and practices that they want to see inculcated and developed in their children. They will value, in other words, each other's contribution to the shared responsibility. They will support each other in it. But then again, also requires them a common outlook in life, that they spend time together walking through their thoughts, their understandings, having a common basis of how we will approach our children, what sort of life, how we will discipline them. And here, by the way, is advice to all parents to not allow their children to play one against the other. As kids, we were very adept at that practice, weren't we? We would go to Mum and say, "Can I do this?" And Mum would say, "Well, go ask your dad." So we would go to Dad and say, "Dad, can I do this?" And he'd say, "What did your mother say?" Knowing full well we would go to the soft target first. "Oh, she said it was okay." Or, she wasn't really fussed. And we leave out the bit she said, "Well, go and ask Dad." "Oh, okay." Mum may actually have already said no and we've gone and asked Dad. We play one against the other. How important it is for both to be in a clear line of communication and an understanding in relation to their training and discipline of their children. There's a harmony that is being expressed here. It's being expressed in terms of the illustration when it says here in verse 9, "For they will be graceful, and the they here is the instruction of the father, the laws of the mother. They will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck." You know, the ornament on the head is the idea of a crown, a diadem, some sort of headdress. And that speaks of some sort of artistic balance. The chain around the neck is a pendant. And the idea is that there's a sense of beauty here, there's a sense of balance. You know, it's not Mum pulling on the chain in one direction and Dad pulling on the chain in a different direction, basically strangling their children by the instructions and directions that they give to their children's life. And remember what Paul says in Ephesians 6, "The fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath." Inconsistency in the instructions, inconsistency in the expectations between mother and father are a powerful way to provoke children into uncertainty and then into frustration, which leads to wrath. So there needs to be in the parents a sense of partnership. This is a mutual responsibility that we have. God has given different perspectives to father and mother. They need to be worked together through the Word of God, searching of both our hearts, so that we understand how we can best approach the training of our children. In a sense, parenting comes naturally. But the tragedy of that is sin affects the way that we parent, because we are sinners. Even those who are Christians still have sinful thoughts and practice patterns. And so we have the need here to think through what is the instruction and what are the commands that flow out of that instruction, put it into practice in daily life. But not only do we find here the statement of partnership on the part of the parents, we also find here, I believe, a statement of appreciation encouraged in the children. For Proverbs sets before us a picture of children not just being honoured here, but actually feeling honoured. This is what the parents want as well in all their instruction, of seeing and appreciating the benefit of having such parents and parenting from them. We can think in terms of more modern illustrations of a child who receives a new set of clothes. When Mum or Dad is about to take a picture, they instinctively, don't they, sort of go in a bit of a pose mode. Their eyes pop, they move slightly to the side and They seem to know how to present the best picture. They are so proud to wear this new set of clothes. Or maybe they're going to a dress-up birthday party and they feel so special in that particular outfit that Mum has worked up for them that they walk out of the door excited to show off that reality. The difference here is that this is not just describing an occasional time or event or situation, but an everyday attire. There's a graceful ornament. There's a chain around the neck. These are symbols of victory, symbols of luxury, symbols of honour that a parent will give to the child so as they go out, that they go out with a sense of status. I have been honoured. This is important. It makes me special. I will be recognised. And I want other people to see this concerning me. So if an Israelite mother was to give their son or daughter a crown to wear or a special chain around the neck, they would be looking attractive. They would be singled out, standing out in the midst of others. And children would want to show off such jewels, not because they were valuable, but because they declared their status in the home, they declared their status in the community. They spoke about their parents' love. And their wearing of it showed how they appreciated their parents, their love, their instruction, their influence over their lives. And so just by that illustration of the benefit of true biblical parenting, Solomon is saying to his son, do you recognise, do you appreciate what that does for your life? That it sends you out into the world as someone who has a key attractive quality. You will go out as someone that people like having as a friend, like being around, who will trust you with their lives, with their finances, with things that they love, knowing that you will not rip them off, knowing that you will not go out of the way to hurt them, that you not are a fair-weather friend, but a lifelong friend, that you have understanding and wisdom that when they've got problems, you're the one they know they can talk to, not just because of an appropriate confidentiality, but because you will have compassion, and you will speak carefully, gently, yet wisely into that situation. They will see these things about you. You will stand out head and shoulders above the peers because of the influence that godly parents and parenting has had on your lives. Do you appreciate it? Well, the Bible actually commands that you do appreciate it. That's what it means when it says honour your father and your mother. It means appreciate them before God and to their face and before the community. Today, like many people in our society, we're especially focusing upon mothers. But we want to do so in that very special way that we are honouring them. And doing that as an expression of our faith, or to put it another way, we honour God when we honour our parents. We appreciate God for all he is doing for us and who he is to us when we appreciate our parents for who they are and for what they are doing for us. For they're his agents. And how do we honour our parents? By showing that we listen to their instruction. By showing that we do according to their commands. Now I know it's sometimes hard to listen for the 100th time, or it might even feel like the 1,000th time to you. Always seems to you like you're being told how to think and also what to do and when to do it and how to go about doing it. But you need to understand that you are being called by God to appreciate that parenting. And to appreciate your parents for their involvement in your life. Recognising, seeing that they are preparing you for life away from them. There will come a day when they're not going to tell you what to do. And you will need to be able in that day to understand why they told you the way that they told you. The best way mum and dad can honour you as their children is to make you socially, morally, and above all spiritually attractive before the world, so that people will have you as friends, will even come to you for advice, who will rejoice in your care for them. It's a magnificent goal for any and every young person, but even for adults. Maybe you're way, way past the years of needing that direct parental influence, or you have lived that way. Maybe you still need to stop and listen and think, have I developed that character? Do I exercise that practice that recognises and honours and appreciates true biblical parenting as set before us in the Word of God? Am I maintaining the influence of God's Word over my life as it has come to me in that way or in other ways? Maybe some did not have such parenting. Or maybe you realise now that you actually rejected that parenting. You rebelled against it to your shame and now horror. Listen to the Father in Proverbs as he says to you, get serious then now. Get serious now. Look to God, your Heavenly Father, to instruct you and to set his law as boundaries for your life. You see, wise sons and daughters are excellent listeners. They want their parents to be the primary influence in their lives. They listen both to their mothers and to their fathers. Even more, children, you are being called to appreciate the offer of God, which lay before you in that teaching, in that training, in that discipline and discipling for life. For you see, the best parenting, the best instruction, cannot instill wisdom. It cannot create a godly heart. It can only encourage the choice to seek it. So in Proverbs chapter 2, verse 2, we find this call, incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding for discernment. It's what Jesus was doing to this rich young ruler, this young man who thought he was good but didn't know his own heart. He had benefited from the parental influence, no doubt, but that did not make him a child of God. In good homes, we need to understand, may yet make rebels, troublemakers who despise their parents' teaching, who dishonour their parents, rather than appreciate and honour them and their teaching. The Word of God comes to the children today and to adults as they remember their own childhood years. Which am I? Am I one who appreciates or am I one who apostates from biblical parenting and teaching? Proverbs calls us to pursue wisdom, which is really a call to faith in Jesus, who is wisdom, who is the way, the truth, and the life. But thirdly, as we look at this, we need to recognise something else, and that it's its connection to the whole of Proverbs, but particularly to the underlying principle of Proverbs. What is wisdom all about? What does it look like? Here are the parents, the father bringing instruction, the mother setting in place laws in line with that instruction, directions, commands, guidance. In the light of that instruction, where does it all come from? And what is it based? What is its foundation? Where do parents go for this instruction and the foundation of the commands to train their children? Taken in isolation, we would tend to think that it's a reference to, here's a smart dad. Here's an insightful mum. A little bit more practical than dad and able to nut it down to do's and don'ts. But ultimately it's mum and dad. Maybe they drew on things from their parents, maybe they saw it in their friends, or you know, maybe their brothers or sisters had children ahead of them and they learnt a few things from them. Maybe they picked up a few books and listened to psychologists and got wisdom in that way from others, saw what worked and worked out what doesn't. But that's not what we find here. It's not mum and dad's understanding that's being spoken of here. It's not their wisdom that they have come to articulate, what they have discovered and developed to now communicate. The instruction that he refers to is not his own personal advice, but rather the instruction of God revealed through his word. It's their instruction because it is God's instruction. It's their command because it's God's command. And that's what we read in verse 7. It was the fundamental verse of all the Proverbs. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. What it is saying here is that the fear of the Lord is wisdom and instruction. Putting God in his rightful place over your heart and your mind, your affections, your will, the decisions that you make over your life is the path of instruction and wisdom. To walk in the fear of God. As John MacArthur describes it, that's a state of mind in which one's own attitudes, wills, feelings, deeds and goals are exchanged for God's. This tells us what the parents' resources are and what they are for every believer and for every responsibility in life as we face all the challenges of life. It is the Word of God. Parents are to take this Word to their children. They are to read it, to explain it. They are to encourage their children to read it and to consider it. It's to form their instruction, which is to inform and to explain from God's word those things that they need to hear for life. It's the law which not only speaks of commands but gives directions that map out how to apply this teaching in one's day-to-day living circumstances. And parents are to take that word and to teach it and to apply it with loving persistence with the aim of fostering wise habits and thoughtful action. To equip them so that they will find their way through life in a way that acknowledges God and honours God and knows God. So in other words, the wise parent does not ask their children to hear and obey their every personal whim simply because, hey, I'm dad. I'm your mother. You do what I say. No, that's not the principle that is taught here. The father, the mother is teaching the child to a greater authority. Back to God. Listen to him. He made us. He knows our heart. He knows how best to respond to us, to guard us, to guide us, to keep us, to bless us, to help us. We point our children to God and to that greater set of instructions. As we think of that foundational reality, does it not then fill the parent, and I would argue the child as well, with a sense of confidence and humility? Think of it in terms of the parent. That as what we teach, how do I know that what I'm teaching is actually going to help them? That generation that listened to Dr. Spock in raising their kids would be pulling their hair out now that Dr. Spock recanted all that he taught. How can you trust psychologists? Things change. Understandings improve. The human understanding is not perfect. But when we come to God's instructions, we can have confidence that as we teach our children what God has declared, it is true and authoritative. And we can teach it with confidence that it will be good. That God means what he says and he doesn't mean different things depending upon how he feels on any given day. He is wise, he is good, he does right, and he is eternally consistent. And that is our confidence. But it's also our humility, because even the best of parents get things wrong, having still much to learn, and knowing that our instruction and our commands do not always match God's instructions and command. There's room for us to grow, and as we are faced with new challenges, as we go back to the Word of God, or we review how we handle our children and their instruction at that particular point in time, there are many times we need to go back to our kids and say, I got it wrong, forgive me. God has shown me in His Word that this is what I said, or this is how I should have said it. This is how it should have been applied. What I did was wrong. What I expected of you. We are not the ultimate authority, and that keeps us humble. But it also keeps the children humble, doesn't it? Because they know that they need an authority greater than even mum or dad, but especially greater than their own heart. And it also gives their children confidence that as mum and dad lead in accordance with and by the Word of God and for the glory of God, then they're not going to be the losers. They're not going to be the losers of all that is brought into their lives. Their confidence is not in the parents, but only in the parents so far as they reflect God. And their communication as it reflects God's. Are we giving that confidence to our children? By showing them, this is why we believe these things, this is why we say these things, this is why we do these things and not these other things. Instruction means that you don't just lay it out before them, you involve them in understanding all that is said so that they begin to own it. We are aiming for a productive life. As we read this, are we not aiming for something more than that in our children? Are we not aiming for eternal life? We want them to live to the glory of God. We want them to go through the narrow gate and to live on that narrow way. We want the fear of the Lord in their hearts. We want Christian prudence and Christian discipline in their lives. And perhaps that is something of what God's Word is telling us about the goal, about the direction, about the way God would have us as men and women live as well. The goal then for parenting is to make yourself redundant as a parent, but loved as a companion in Christ. Standing alongside your children in love, living for the Lord and serving the same Lord who has blessed us and redeemed us. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your Word. We pray that we would be better students of that Word, that you would lead us, O Father, into not only its truth, but into the life that it sets before us more and more each day. Strengthen our hearts. Encourage us, O Father, in all things that bring glory and honour to you. Be with the parents amongst us. But help us all, O Father, for we are all children, to reflect upon what it is to learn at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, at the feet of our Heavenly Father, at the teaching of the Holy Spirit. We pray for our parents that you would bless them, help them and guide them, give them that confidence that is marked yet by humility. Be with the children that they would be appreciative and help them to put into place the things that their parents so wisely and lovingly from your Word teaching them. Strengthen family life and love, we pray. Help us to be a supporting influence on the families around us, O Father. And as Christians beyond the church into the community. And we ask all these things, O Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.